Again, this evening's meeting of the Finance and Facilities Committee on August 27th. Would you please take a moment to review your meeting, your minutes from the meeting that was held on August 13th? Okay, Steve? Dan, you okay with the minutes from the last meeting?
Good, looks good.
Okay, then the first order of business this evening will be the FGM Professional Services Agreement Contract Renewal Evaluation. As you know, we had this before the Finance Committee a couple of weeks ago, and you asked us to update our annual evaluation, which we began initially last year. We used the same matrix as we used last year in updating for the current year. And per board policy, we've reviewed it, and we believe that we feel good about the relationship that we have with FGM. There were no outstanding issues this year. I also included some information on Erickson Engineering, AMSCO, and DC Engineers, who also does some, do other type of professional services for us. Any questions on that?
And what's the timing for the review? Is it this time of the year?
Well, yeah. We typically start to bring capital projects and the architectural contract renewal about this time of year. I think what I'll do is I'll back it up. So before I, first of all, we thought we were going to do this every couple of years. It's my understanding now that the Finance Committee would like it prepared on an annual basis, meaning the evaluation. So I think what I'll do is the first meeting in August, we'll do the evaluation, and then the second meeting is when we'll start the contract. I'll start to bring the contract for renewal so that you have this information before we even start the renewal process or discussion.
Okay. No, I was thinking about the timing and how to stage everything. So
yeah, this is pretty typical, and this would probably be the most appropriate time to bring this, considering that we've just finished our summer projects and, okay, you know, we finished one project, and here we go. We're starting up in another year to start planning ahead for next year.
Gotcha.
So are there any questions on the information that has been provided here?
How much of this came from our new director of buildings and grounds versus, you know, for the last year?
Nothing yet.
Comments about dealing with new firms or things that surprised him? Or?
To be honest with you, this summer, because of the timing that Dave came on, Dave was responsible more for the day-to-day operations. I was sort of kind of keeping everything from a sort of a global type of perspective. Dave worked with me day in and day out. No, he did not have any input in this. He really never brought to me any concerns. So I'm assuming they were okay. He was okay. Good question. I'll make sure that I ask him.
Okay.
And then maybe next year he starts to prepare this. I don't know really how that'll play out.
Some of these, I guess, I won't say low scores, but lower scores. I mean, are they the same as last year?
No, they were changed. In particular, I lowered some of the scores for Erickson Engineering. I was a little unhappy. A couple of hiccups happened along the way with this year's projects that I was a little disappointed about. So Erickson Engineering actually received lower scores than they did the previous year. Hiccups meaning I think they could have planned a little better. We had that one leak. Well, we struck a pipe in a Hadley parking lot that was not accounted for on the plan, so I was disappointed in that. Just a few other things. With regards to FGM, I had some, most stayed the same. Some went up a little bit. Others went down a little bit.
And do we choose Erickson, or does FGM choose Erickson?
No, actually, I guess I would choose Erickson. If I wanted to go to another civil engineer or directed FGM to bring some recommendation for us for other civil engineers or mechanical engineers, they would go out and do that. I know that Erickson has been here for, I guess, a number of years. How long that exactly that is, I don't know. I have worked with them in other districts that I've been associated with previously, and I don't hear anything other than good things about the firm. regarding this year, a couple of things I was a little disappointed about that I believe they should have anticipated, should have known, should have looked at a couple of things that came up that sort of surprised us at the last minute.
You talking okay. Erickson or FGM?
Erickson.
Okay. Because based on your matrix, FGM exceeded expectations more than a third of the time.
I would believe they met or exceeded expectations in almost all instances.
Well, they've met expectations 2/3, and they've exceeded 1/3.
Okay.
So that's high praise. Mm-hmm. If you're exceeding expectations 1/3 of a time, that's hard for most organizations to do that.
And to be able to sustain it.
Yeah. Again, I don't have a problem with FGM. The only problem I've ever had with the concept of the architect of record is that it seems like it's a conflict of interest that they are. There's an alignment issue. Is it their goal is to make as much money as possible? Our goal is to have the best requisite value. But I don't know that there's anything. I think that's just the nature of how the school code is set up.
Well, I would also say that we could have that issue with any number of professional services that we utilize.
No consultants.
Consultants are out there to make a living, and I can say that about attorneys. I can say that about engineers.
Yeah, I can
accountants,
do it more than
everyone.
Twice.
Yeah. No, I understand. It just conceptually, it just.
You know, I did not work with FGM before coming here. It's not one of the firms that I had ever encountered. And having been in a very large school district where we worked with many architectural firms because we were building so many schools, I think FGM goes above and beyond. Many, many, many times, and we find ourselves working with them in ways that they aren't charging us. I think they're very generous with their time. They're very generous with their work with us. And when we ask them to be someplace, they are there. And they don't ask. They don't quibble. We don't get a follow-up bill for any of that. And so I think they have a strong commitment to us. And you know, one might say, why? When
we've asked ourselves that question.
When we haven't really, had any big projects, you can say, well, we give them X hundreds of thousands, dollar each year, but in the grand scheme of things, architectural firms make their money on
big projects.
Building.
And,
yeah.
They've remained loyal, and I think continue to give us really great service when we haven't given them much in the way of larger business.
And again, I can't say enough that staff is telling me that they've exceeded their expectations 1/3 of the time, which is to me it's almost unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Any other questions?
Do you have any questions?
No. Just if you had any areas that they scored low in, just here. I assume you'll be routing information back to them so they can work on improving in those categories.
Absolutely. And we speak probably several times a week. And if I ever have an issue with that firm, I tell them like it is. If there ever has been an issue, it's corrected immediately.
How long have
about 7 years now. 7, 8 years, something like that.
Well, I think they came when Jack came, right?
Yeah, we had Archon and FGM working at the same time on two different kind of mm-hmm. long-term studies. Archon was the architect of record, and then it changed to FGM, mm-hmm. I think, the year after that.
Mm-hmm.
So about 7 years in.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about Erickson. How long has Erickson been?
I have a feeling that they
predates FGM.
FGM. Yeah.
Okay, so they've been here probably 10-plus years?
They are a firm that they do civil engineering, so they specialize in stormwater, streets, you know, that type of work. And when we've needed them in, because we've done two stormwater projects over the past 4 or 5 years, that's generally when they're brought in, is for that type of analysis and that type of work. We used them for the Franklin project. We had to use them for the Hadley project when we did the little, the smaller addition in the back because of stormwater. And then we used them this summer because of stormwater issues. Anytime we're going to materially affect one of our sites, they're called in for their professional services.
Did they do our emergency work here?
No, that was DC Engineering. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that really turned out to be a great project. Mm-hmm. The way that gentleman could just come in, and I remember he gave us kind of three different alternatives of what could be going on, and we started at the lower end, and luckily that resolved our issue. So mm-hmm. he did some forensic engineering. It was just, I thought, a great job. Mm-hmm.
What project was that? I'm sorry.
This building was flooding. Never happened. And then about 3 years ago, it just started to happen in late winter, early spring. And water was coming in through the windows, water coming up through the floor. I mean, and what happened? What changed in the area? Well, no one was ever really able to define what happened, but they gave us a recommendation. Like I said, they gave us a three-pronged recommendation in terms of what they think we should do to correct the situation here in the building. And we started at the least expensive, and that happened to solve the problem.
And even Erickson, I mean, it's, although they have some lower scores, they didn't meet your expectations. Nothing was below expectations.
Now, I was just a little disappointed in a couple of things that happened that frankly, I think they should have been prepared to take a look at before it happened.
And you have addressed that with them.
Oh, yes.
They know that you are less than happy with.
They're well aware. The owner of the company is well aware of it.
Wow, okay.
The good news is the reason they meet is that the project was completed, the snafu was
corrected
and then we moved on.
So
this is
other questions then.
This is the same matrix we did before.
Yeah. Same one. You know, it worked out well. It took some time to develop it, so if it works well for the board, the finance committee. If it works well for me, I'm fine with, you know, just annually bringing this back with a review.
I think you did a nice job when you put this up about a year ago. I think it really kind of answers all the questions. Like I say, my issue was really the timing and how we stage this with the other.
And like I said, I think we'll start with the first meeting in August with the evaluation, and then second meeting, we'll start bringing the contract renewals. Okay, the next order of business then is
before
the financial.
Before we move on, could I just ask a question? Would you like me to share this with the rest of the board in Thursday's letter?
Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely. Yep. Ian?
Yep, sure.
Okay, then the next order of business is the financial plan for implementing foreign language in the elementary schools and full day kindergarten. Included in your packet is a spreadsheet, and we can actually, if you can, read off of here. What I've done is every year I begin to update the financial projections for the coming 5 years, and right now we're out to 2017 and 18. And what I've done is I've gone in and just I went in, calculated the levy to our best estimates in terms of where we'd expect the levy to go over the next 5 years. We've kept other local revenues about consistent because I don't see any major changes, anything that unusual that may occur. General state aid. I attended a seminar last week or the week before, and there were some. Deb Vespa was there, Phyllis from Illinois State Board of Education. She's like the financial guru down there. And there are some talks out there that the general state aid formula may be changing. And as you know, we only receive about $255 a kid for a student for general state aid. But there is discussion out there with the alternative calculation, those that use the alternative formula, which is us, that may end up going away. That may end up going away as the state of Illinois continues to try to deal with its financial mess that it's in. So just something to be aware of, although I did hold it consistent out over the 5 years of this these projections. Other state aid, as you know, the budget for 11-12 was just over $900,000. Actuals came in at $2.7 million, but again, that was for last fiscal year, included in this fiscal year. So that number is going to be adjusted by the auditors. We think something that's more consistent, more realistic, is around $1.9 million, and that's for our mandated categoricals, special education, special ed transportation, things of that nature. The other amount is the federal aid, and that's pretty consistent at just over $500,000. I also wanted to mention that out here in 2016-17, 2017-18 is where we will no longer, we have two outstanding bond issues that will be going away, and I believe it's in 2018 is the last time. So we'll probably levy for that in December of 17 or 2018. So we've taken that number down. As you can see, the levy amounts decreased. And also the expenditure lines, you can see that they've decreased in 17 and 18, corresponding to the amount of our bonds. So what does that mean? Well, this year we're projecting a deficit of about $2.2 million. Again, that's because of the abatement that we chose. A surplus for the next several years, $1.2 million. Next year, 13-14, pretty substantial. In 14 and 15, again, some pretty substantial surpluses. Now, please keep in mind that what I did is those surpluses were generated because of the reduction in salaries due to retirements. So those numbers have been adjusted accordingly. That's the reason we see some significant increases in surpluses over the coming years, because right now we have over 30 people in the retirement pipeline, and I've done some work just looking at Lori came up with some data in terms of sort of the age of our staff, and we expect this to continue for a number of years to come. So what does that mean? The savings are indicated on this slide here, about $75,000 this year, but it starts to really increase dramatically all the way out over the years. So the whole, besides giving you this five-year presentation of where we're at financially, we're here to talk a little bit about the addition of foreign language at the elementary level, as well as full day kindergarten. And FLES, the foreign language elementary schools, I'm told will require about 10 teachers. Implementation of full day kindergarten will take about 8 teachers. We've taken each teacher at about a $52,000 salary plus their benefits, and we've rolled out those programs in a potential cost with increases to salaries and benefits for the 5 years projected through 2018. And we have presented that is a sustainable plan for at least the next 5 years in terms of still having a surplus of dollars out there annually. So I can answer questions that you may have regarding the financial presentation this evening, or any questions in terms of how I came up with these numbers. I know in the next few weeks we're going to begin talking about the actual program itself and the benefits of the program, and I think probably Karen would be presenting that information.
How did you the property? I'm still confused how the property taxes are bouncing around. In 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017.
Okay, I took CPI of 2.5%. I can for the property tax levy. I took CPI. Assumed CPI to be about 2.5%. EAV will begin to increase approximately 5% annually. New construction was estimated at $10 million annually. That took us out to about 2016. Then I continued to those increases in 17 and 18. But when the calculations were done, I backed out the amount that the bond levies were outstanding for, the estimated levies. Actually, more, we took the actual amounts that we have on our bond schedules, how much the levies would be reduced by not levying for the bond and interest fund.
And you see that then in the 2016-17 year, Dan?
I think the issue is probably bringing up is the fact you're going budget, you know, 39.3 to 47 actual, you know, in the budget, and 39.5, where is it?
Here.
You're jumping quite a bit. I don't know if that's somehow to the fact with the abatement. You gave back, you didn't levy it, but you kept the, you know, the,
right, the
point that you're actually looking at where they calculated the CPI against the same. So the, when you come back the following year, when you take the percentage on what you didn't, what you could have levied, yeah, not what you didn't levy,
right,
you're going to see a big jump there.
You're talking about difference between 13, FY 13 and FY 14.
Right, I think that's what people are saying. You're seeing a huge jump between, 38.9 and 42.7.
Mm-hmm. I did some calculations of that number, and it's about a 10% increase.
Right, and the reason you're seeing it is because you're calculating the increase over what you could have levied, not what we didn't, what we actually levied.
That's correct.
No, I understand that. I just thought Bob said the bond thing didn't happen until 17-18, but I saw the dip in 16-17.
Was that like a half payment?
Yes.
In the middle?
Yes. They don't. One is retired in 17, the other is retired in 18. So in 16-17, or that's 15-16, you'll have the full levy.
Right.
Then in 16-17, there's about a $2 million levy, and then back here in 17-18, it goes down to about $1 million level.
That makes sense.
In a B&I fund.
Unless you vote yes to back taxes.
Hey, Bob?
Yes.
We don't want to be that group.
What did you say, Dan?
We don't want to be that group.
The 13-14 year, you've got EAV growth back at 5%. You think that's
I tell you, we see a lot of things going on again in the district that we haven't seen for about 3 or 4 years. When those projects are going to come on the rolls, it's anybody's guess. But you know, in about a month or so, we'll start making calls to the assessor's office, just trying to get a feel for where construction's at, where AV is going to be at. Right now, Drew, I don't know what it's going to be. But you know,
it just seems a little bit optimistic.
It very well could be. I will say that I'll be making those calls in the next month or so in anticipation of starting those levy conversations in October, November,
okay,
and a presentation in December.
And I think the 5%, you know, this is all scenario building because we don't know. And so anytime you project out, and I think you're using more of the historical figure.
Historical average.
And maybe the history is changing and we'll have to adjust that. But at this point, we haven't done that. So what we've used is our traditional historical figures, 2.5 CPI, 5% on EAV growth. And we're just kind of staying with that,
right,
those assumptions at this point.
But as you know, when I bring that levy conversation to you, that presentation, then we're talking not actuals, but we're making the phone calls. We're not using historical averages. We're making the phone calls, trying to get information from the local assessor's office in terms of what their expectations are, where the numbers may come in.
But just so I understand, you want us to make a commitment in terms of the foreign language and the full day kindergarten before we get the levy numbers, so we know what the
You'll do the levy before we actually would take.
Yeah, I'm just here to present these.
I'm just in terms of the staging.
Yeah.
I mean, my concern would be is that we go down this road and we find out that we don't have the growth that we thought, and then all of a sudden we we have a negative budgeting number.
Absolutely. So, well, that's true of every year. I mean, that we build our budgets, which is why, you know, one of the things you're seeing here, which creates the affordability, is the compounding effect of having made a $3.2 million reduction now it'll be almost 4 years ago, and a number of retirees that continue to, you know, this isn't a scenario that goes forever necessarily.
Right.
You know, you can only do it so many years out. But I think we feel confident that financially we can add this, programmatically we can do this. Mm-hmm. And you're right, there are always going to be what ifs along the way, and we'd have to adjust to that. But it seemed to us that the fundamental question you would ask us before we even began to entertain the curricular piece and the programmatic piece is, can we afford it? You know, if we put this in place, can we afford it? We would say, based on what we know as of right now and in our assumptions, we could afford it. And maybe we wouldn't afford both of those right now, or, you know, but we wanted to create the picture so that you could at least feel like you could engage in the conversation
right.
with us.
And I would tell you that if we get our, if these numbers are close to what Bob is projecting,
mm-hmm.
it makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, I guess I'd like to couch my bets a little bit.
Sure.
Make sure that we get a lot closer to the.
What about utilities costs? That's my question.
Well,
and you know, just in general, where the facilities would come from.
Where are you going to put these people?
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming they're all going to have their own classroom.
Well, or, actually, they would.
Well, you're going to need a few more kindergarten classroom teachers there all day.
What we would, I mean, and of course, the full-day kindergarten is still in the think tank.
I assume this isn't all enough and it's a la carte.
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by a la
both
carte.
Both programs, foreign language and all-day kindergarten. They're really separate.
They're very separate. And yeah. maybe separate approvals, separate recommendations. The full-day kindergarten is really built within the think tank conversation right now, and whether the think tank will even come back with a recommendation at this time to implement full day K. They may say, at which time you have a successful facilities referendum, implement full day K. I mean, that may be, we don't know, but we thought we need to be prepared to tell you if they come to us with that recommendation that here are the numbers associated with just the staff. And I think that the thought would be that, you know, you wouldn't have separate classrooms for those teachers. You'd have more kids in, you know, we'd probably raise our targets, and then you'd have more doubling up, and then as kids start moving through the day, as the think tank has talked about, where you're not just with a group of 25 kids all day long, that we would absorb them in some way with the current facilities that we have. Foreign language would be the same thing. Now, you still have a challenge at where you're going to put teacher's desk and mailbox, you know, all of those things. So there are some space challenges associated with either one of these.
Do you have any very preliminary enrollment numbers for us today? I didn't see anything posted here.
I don't have them with me. But
we have a CASARTA coming.
You know, we have CASARTA. we had CASARTA done last year. And I thought
don't
I gave
think
it
I've
to.
Seen it.
I thought I gave
it. I thought
well
we were waiting for our fall housing numbers.
Last year.
Last year. So, okay, well.
So we have a. So I emailed.
I don't remember him talking to us about his report or anything.
Oh, no, he would never. I mean, I didn't have him come out here. I just asked him to update
right.
our report.
Okay.
So he did the work on
okay.
updating.
Are you in a conference call? Okay.
But Julie said something about updating the webpage and replacing it with the CASARTA report. And I said, okay. And then I don't have an electronic version of it. So I think what may have happened, because I shared it with you.
Yeah.
We looked at you all gave him updated numbers.
Yes.
So we need to present to the board.
I thought I gave it to the board.
I don't remember that either. I really don't. I'm sorry.
No, don't you be sorry. It's me.
Unless there was nothing out of the ordinary.
There wasn't anything astounding there.
nothing. I mean, it was a kind of a continuation of the same.
Okay.
But,
you know, slow, not too much growth, too much of a decline.
So I thought I put it in a Thursday letter, but it definitely I didn't. So the only thing I can think of is that it was still in draft form, and we never finalized the draft. So I've emailed John to say, first of all, did we ever finish the report? And second of all, did I pay you? Because now if I don't have a report, I don't even
know.
I think that would help reinforce our estimates, you know, what our enrollment's going to be projected.
The enrollment projections looked very similar to what you saw in the last one, and the B series looks very similar to what we currently have.
And remember, this plan is sustainable upon two things. First of all, general state aid, and then also it really is supported, at least in the first few years, by the number of retirements that we have.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a point. Is it? Have we talked to the community about the concept?
Foreign language or full day kindergarten?
Full day kindergarten.
Well, it will come out as part of that think tank recommendation. So as that unfolds, we've got town hall meetings planned. But we won't take a recommendation for full day kindergarten until we start to see the shaping of that think tank. So we're kind of ahead of the game, trying to be proactive from the number standpoint, and get your questions, what kinds of things, you know, do we need to either send back to think tank, or do we need to do further crunching of numbers to give you, you know, what you feel comfortable with in terms of information. This is a very preliminary conversation. You see, it doesn't have a board report attached to it.
Yeah.
We just brought it to you to really have a first blush dialogue.
I will tell you that from a financial impact standpoint, This is sustainable. It is encouraging.
Yeah, we were very encouraged.
There is much to be flushed out, but the first blush.
Yeah,
I agree. This is very encouraging.
Well, and as you know, I mean, we originally talked about implementing dual language next year at Churchill, and the following year, 14-15, foreign language at the elementary. The board said, I'd like you to accelerate that timeline. And so this particular timeline would be dual language and FLESS all next year for the 10 teachers. And that's going with a program of, I think, 30 minutes. 30 minutes twice a week.
The think tank has visited
Foreign language committee is different than think tank.
Okay.
They're two separate committees, but the foreign language committee visited schools with FLESS and schools with dual language.
Okay. Okay. So we've done a lot of our homework.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Our preference would probably be a dual language all the way through the district, because we think it's a better model. But what you'd have to have in every school besides Churchill would be what's called one-way immersion. And so, because you don't have enough second language to make it dual language. So districts like Barrington Schaumburg or West Chicago, Arlington Heights, they have one-way immersion programs, and either with Spanish, Chinese, or, you know.
Any other questions? That's all the information I had for the Finance Committee this evening. Any other comments out there? Steve, Drew, Dan?
I have a quick question, and unless it's based on an email we got from a parent about the bus
drivers,
schedules.
Overcrowded buses, kids sitting in the aisle, quarter seat. You can turn it. We can have a meeting if you want.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's
fine. Dan, do you have any other topics for Finance Committee?
No.
Okay.
I move to adjourn the meeting.
Okay. Then we'll end this evening's meeting in the Finance Facility Committee. Now the board meeting will begin at 7:30.